Ladies and gentlemen, are we ready?
I'm ready. It doesn't sound like you're ready, but wait. Yeah, now it sounds like you're ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, the legend, Harlan Williams. How you doing, man?
Wow, legend. Wow.
Yes, you are.
Like a baseball legend?
Yes.
Wow.
A legend, actor, dancer, writer.
Prancer. It's funny. I got to tell you a story. You know you're getting a little old. I've been doing stand-up like 20 years, and I was at the Montreal Comedy Festival in the summer, and I'm a Canadian guy, right? Uh-huh. So all the Canadian comics, of course, know of me and watched me and stuff. And I had one gig, you know, you do like a giant, like 2,000-seat theater. And then they
as part of the Montreal Comedy Festival?
As part of the festival. And then they have you do all like kind of the other little venues around the city. And I went to this one like local comedy club, and the kid MC must have been like 23 or 24. And he goes, "This next guy, ladies and gentlemen, he's a comedy legend here in Canada." And I just felt like 70-year-old. I felt like an old Don Rickles one. It was a real honor to have him say legend, but at the same time, you realize they don't say that unless you're like old.
It's like it's over, you mean?
Yeah, like it's done. It's like, all right.
So you started 20 years ago doing stand-up then?
I think so. Well, maybe longer. I started in 84. What's that? How long is that?
Okay, now we know you've done a ton of movies. You've done like, what, 40? Is that what it was?
Almost 40, I think. I'm coming up on 40.
Did you always want to get into showbiz? Was it you want to do stand-up or act, or what was your deal?
You know, I wasn't sure. I knew I wanted to get into showbiz. I didn't know at what capacity, but when I was a kid, I would skip school. I would go downtown and sit in the movie theaters all by myself, watch the afternoon matinee, and I'd just stare at the screen, and I would go, I don't know why, but I know I'm going to be up there one day. And I didn't think I was an actor. I just had this gut feeling.
Was there any showbiz in your family at all?
No, not really. My mom's a bit of a ham, like she likes to sing and stuff, uh-huh. But no. So it was just this weird feeling I had ever since I was a kid.
Did you take acting classes like
no.
in high school? Or
No acting classes.
Stand up, how'd you get going?
I just went down to the local club in Toronto and did like the 5-minute amateur night. And it went good, and I went, well, that went better than I thought. I'll do another night.
Do you remember any of the jokes you told when you did it?
Oh, yeah. I remember my very first joke. It was ridiculous. A buddy of mine had found like a cardinal's poncho at a Salvation
right.
Army, like
uh-huh.
the big poncho
like
with the
Catholic cardinal?
Yeah, with the cross in the middle, uh-huh. and it was white with like a sequined silver cross. And I walked on stage wearing this thing, and underneath I had full body long johns,
uh-huh.
and I had a fake plastic rifle under the poncho like Clint Eastwood. And I walked out on stage, and I just looked at the crowd, and I said, yeah, that's right. I want to be the Pope, just like every other kid on my street. Like, really dumb, you know? And then I threw the poncho over my shoulder and pulled out the plastic rifle and pretended to shoot the crowd. It was horrible.
And did it work?
It worked. It was. I think sometimes it's just about the conviction of comedy, like the conviction of committing to a joke.
Were you
or
afraid
premise.
When you first hit the stage, though?
I was terrified. I'll be honest. The first thing I did, I was so amped up and excited. I walked out and I grabbed the mic. I just walked up and I went, like that. And the two girls in the front row just went, whoa. Like I scared them. And I went, whoa. Like I didn't realize how amped up full of adrenaline I was. And I just grabbed it and let out that adrenaline blast. And it's like when Mr. Limpet did the sonic boom in the Mr. Limpet movie.
So you did your 5 minutes, and
yeah.
it went well enough. Was there any other comics there that were like big, that are maybe famous now that were around at that time at this comedy club?
You know what? Jim Carrey and Howie Mandel were the guys that started at that same club, and they moved. They had moved about maybe a year or two before I started, and then. And then I guess me and Norm MacDonald were the next wave.
And
me,
so is Norm from where you are?
Me
from?
And Norm, yeah. We worked together coming up through the ranks on the amateur
Do you still
night.
See Norm?
I don't see him that much anymore. There was a time when we were really tight, but then as he kind of got more famous and busy and I got busy, we just kind of drifted apart.
Did you get along or do you get along?
Oh, yeah. Norm and I were best friends at one point in time, you know, and just over the years, we just, you know, it's weird what happens with any style of work you're in. You end up going in different directions, and especially when you're both headliners.
Right.
That's the bummer about being a headlining comic. You don't get to see the other headliners because they're working in Seattle and you're working in Portland, Oregon, and they're in Florida, you're in New York, like... you don't get to work with each other very much.
Well, he did SNL for a few years. Did you ever audition for that?
I auditioned for SNL twice. And to be honest, I didn't really want it. Not to say they
offered
it to... No, it wasn't offered to me, but there, I auditioned twice, and then there was other interest where they wanted to talk to me about it.
Now, how far along the process did you get with SNL? I mean, did you audition for Lorne Michaels, or was it
video?
Or
it was... They all came to see me at a comedy club. It was a week I was doing Letterman in New York, and so we did an extra special night just for them. And
do you regret not pursuing it? Or?
No, because I never... I'm going to be honest. A lot of people might hate this. I do not like Saturday Night Live. I think it's... I just think it's weak. Like, I like some of the characters. I love some of the actors, like Will Ferrell. I like the effort that's put into it, but I got spoiled. I grew up on Second City, which
right.
was more about driven by characters and premises. And SNL, it feels like all their sketches are, okay, this sketch is going to be, well, get a catchphrase, I like waffles, and then the whole sketch... Nine people walk in and out of sets, and they all go, I like waffles, and that's the whole thing. And I'm just like, what the hell is this?
Why is it working, though? Why has it been around so long?
Because it's on Saturday night when there's nothing else on competing against it, and that's when all the young teenagers who aren't allowed to be out late with their friends are at home, and they have something to watch.
Well, there's been other TV shows out there trying to take its place, Mad TV and all that.
Right.
Why haven't... Of course, they were around for, 9 or 10 years?
Yeah.
But I that one did not resonate at all with me.
Yeah, I don't
even
know.
Even less than SNL.
Yeah, SNL, I think, also because it's kind of like The Tonight Show. It's got that stigma. It's got that history. It's like people just, it's part of the iconic kind of pop culture that we have here in America. So it's just got legs no matter what they do. People tune in.
Are you American? Are you a citizen?
I'm a citizen, yeah.
I
was born in Canada, but I got my citizenship about 2 years ago.
Is that a patriotic thing or is that a tax thing? Not to be overly nosy.
No, it was both because my grandfather was American.
Okay.
And then my dad left and went to Canada. And now, in a way, I feel cool that I'm kind of bringing it back.
Do you feel more Canadian or American?
You know, you always, wherever you're born... That saying, home is where the heart is.
Right.
So I'll always be Canadian in my heart. But as far as where I live now and what I do, I feel American.
Was that weird? Did you have to go do the whole thing and the...
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Is it naturalization?
Naturalization. You have to do the immigration work. You have to do the papers. It's crazy. It's a huge, long process. It took me 7 years to get my green card.
Were you really 7 years? Were you convicted to do it, or was it? Did you feel tormented or a little regretful that you were pursuing this, like you're cheating on Canada? At all at any point? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a little weird. Yeah, like you know. Like I said, it's like if you moved to Germany or, you know, your work took you there, your family took you there, and you had to live there, and that's what you did. And then they said, well, you've got to become a German citizen, and then you got to do the Oath of Allegiance
right.
in German. In your heart, you're always going to be American. You know what I mean? But you might love it in Germany, but it's where you're born is where your soul is, kind of, you know? But
it took 7 years. Why?
That's just the process. It takes so long, and that's why you get frustrated when you see, you know, illegal immigrants, whether they be Mexican, Canadian, Chinese, whatever, and they just dance across the border. Yeah, okay, you're in. And people that do it the legitimate way go through thousands of dollars and lawyers and all these processes and paperwork, and it's just bizarre.
Does that aggravate you?
Look, I get it that people want to come here and make a life for themselves. Who wouldn't, right? But at the same time, I feel like it's just so out of balance that some people follow the process and it's such a hassle, and then other people just skip across.
Do you think it should be easier for someone to become a U.S. citizen?
No, I think any country should screen who they have come in and know about that person and make sure that you know, they're going to be part of a functioning society and contributing. You know, I think that's important, and that doesn't. You could be a rocket scientist or someone who picks grapes. It doesn't matter, but I feel like every country has the right to kind of be in control of that.
Kind of monitor it, at least?
Yeah, you know, and there's laws on the books for that, and yet the laws don't seem to apply. It's like, Shoplifting is against the law.
Right.
Murder's against the law. Coming into this country illegally is against the law.
But not enforced.
But yet, come on in. But if you murder someone or shoplift, you're going to jail.
Well, what do you think that is? Is it more here in the United States than other countries, would you say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because everyone can come here, and because of, you know, the blanket of freedom, people can actually make a living and live free, and that's all great. But, you know, they always say that freedom is based, predicated on the rule of law. Without rule of law, there can be no democracy, right?
Right.
That's like a given. And so when you start not enforcing your laws, whether they're immigration laws or murder laws, or, you know, look how lenient they are with celebrities like Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
Like, she's stealing, she's driving drunk, but she's out having a picnic, whereas any other kid would be like throwing behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird how things are out of whack.
Enough politics.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Wow.
I'm done.
Wow.
I'm not
exhausted.
Done. I got a question for you.
I need to go to jail and get a free meal right now.
You've done 600 movies.
600. Yeah, around there.
Is there a movie that you've done that's a mainstream movie, not like a short or something,
yeah,
you know, what a mainstream movie that you've done and you go, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Is there one that you kind of go, why did I?
There's one that I did that never made it to mainstream. It made it to DVD. And it was a wacky movie called Surf School. And it wasn't that I don't regret doing the movie, because
right,
I had a great time doing it, but it wasn't done well. And you always want your work to be good. You know what I mean?
What was bad? Was it shot well? Was not enough money behind it?
It was just the script wasn't great, and it wasn't put together well.
Anybody else in the movie that I might know?
No, it was just basically I was kind of the biggest name, and then it was a bunch of young kids going to surf school. And what really got me there was, you know, the producers and the director said, look, we're shooting this movie in Costa Rica on a beach for 10 days. You're going to be surrounded by girls in bikinis. You'll be swimming in the ocean, and it was great.
Like, that's easy.
It was great, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, they had the crew, they had the camera, they had the film. It's like, put something good together, and you know, it's not horrible, but it's, out of all the movies I've done, I'd say it's my least favorite.
Did it go to theaters?
No, it didn't make it to theaters. So
is it on DVD?
It's on DVD. Here I am. I'm plugged now. People are, you know.
I've never heard of it.
I know. Exactly.
Okay.
Now
let's go the other way then. What are you most proud of as far as your acting, and you've been in all these great movies, Dumb and Dumber, these legendary roles you played. What of all those would you say is, golly, that's the one right there? That is, I am very proud of that, and it was wildly successful.
God, you know, I got to say, Keith, I'm proud of all of them, because, you know, the acting, it's tough when you get on the set and you got to pull your weight in a movie and you got to remember your lines. And in my case, I like to try to bring something special to all my performances.
Right.
And I would say what I'm proud of the most is not so much one particular movie, but the elements I brought to the movie, that the fact that I haven't been afraid to improvise while the cameras are rolling and just not ask if I can do things, but just do things. And
are they cool with that, for the most part, the directors?
Well, with me, they don't, you know, they didn't really have a choice. I just did it, and the proof is in the pudding, because after the film was cut, a ton of my stuff that I just did on the spot,
they kept,
made it into the movie. And so I got a bit of a reputation for that. And so, you know, I've been on sets where directors have just said to me, they go, Harlan, do your Harlan thing. Harlandize it, you know, and that makes me proud that, you know, they have the faith in me to let me improvise. And you know, you got a big budget film with a lot of big stars, and they give you room to just make that moment your own. And those are the things I'm probably the proudest of.
Do you think that has hurt you with other roles that you haven't gotten, because you have a control freak type of a director that says, I want it done this way, I don't want someone improvising?
No, because I've been on sets where I can kind of gauge.
By the way, that's a great question.
That is a great question.
That was awesome.
Can we just pause for a moment and have a moment of silence for that question?
I was blown away by that question by myself.
Wait, moment of silence.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, that was sweet. Great question. My legs are trembling. My knees are trembling.
Thank you.
Wow. Wow. And my arthritis just cleared up, too. Great question.
So back to the question, and the question basically was, have you lost work because of the fact that you do your own thing?
No, because I can gauge, you know, kind of based on when I get to the set, the environment, and how I'm feeling about the material, you know. And no, it's never hampered anything. And if a director says to me, don't do it, no problem. I mean, you always got to respect the director. And I've had directors say, hey, you know, not here, or cooler, or just give me the line. I'm like, you got it. But that doesn't stop me from pushing, you know.
Right.
And I think all actors, you know, when you're acting, you make choices, whether you're pushing an improvised line for comedy effect, or, you know, you're Marlon Brando and you decide to, you know, do an eye tick just for effect, or
right.
you stare at your hand while you're delivering your line. I think every actor has their own little tricks, you know.
Do you know Lindsay Lohan? You mentioned her earlier.
I do not know her, no.
Is there an actor that you've worked with that is a mainstream actor that we would all know, that you believe has a bad reputation, or their reputation is maligned, that you know them personally, you go, you know what, they're getting a bad rap. This person is getting killed in the press and shouldn't be, because I know them. Is there anyone out there you've worked with that would fall into that category?
Huh.
Once again,
that's a good question. Thanks. Now my knees have stopped shaking. is there somebody bad that got a bad
No,
rap?
Like a person you work with, a girl, guy, or whatever, that maybe gets pounded in the press, gets pounded by TMZ or whatever for their singing or their acting, and you know that not to be the case.
You know, there was one person, I did a movie called Employee of the Month with Jessica Simpson, and people always pound her. They just go, oh, she's ditzy, she's an idiot, she's blonde, she's a doofus, And that's a person that I always stick up for, because she's just a sweet girl. She's not stupid. She runs like six of her own companies. She's making more money than most of us. And you know, I'd say she got a bad rap, but I find her very sweet and pleasant.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you'll stand up for someone, because a lot of people, they'll just jump on the same thing and go,
yeah. People do that now with Sarah Palin, I find. All the time.
You do it in your act.
Yeah. Right. I do some funny bits in my act, but I find people in general, when they look at Sarah Palin, they just go, what a moron. I hate that woman.
Is that the L.A. mentality, though? I mean,
it is. And then I ask people, I always challenge people. I go, oh, why? Why do you think she's stupid? And this is their answer. I go, oh, she just is. I mean, come on. I go, no, what is it about her that you really, it sounds like you hate her. Yeah, she's a doofus. She's a jerk. I go, well, what is it? And they go, oh, come on. Like, they never have a concrete answer.
Right.
And here's a woman that is just chasing the American dream like all of us. You know, Ronald Reagan was an actor that did movies with monkeys. Jimmy Carter was a peanut farmer.
Right.
And here they are dumping on a woman who just wants to, you know, whether she'll